This episode is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIP members.
VIP stands for Very Important People, and their small monthly contributions ensure that this podcast remains free for all of you.
If you would like to become a bronze, silver, or gold VIP member, go to members.majorspoilers.com for more information.
I sure do thank you for your support. Now, here's your show.
Welcome to Dueling Reviews, a show where two guys sit down with one comic and we go into it in detail. I'm Steven Schleicher, and joining me again this week is Matthew Peterson.
Hello.
And this week we are taking a look at Ringside, number one from Image Comics, written by Joe Keating, with art by, I believe it's Simon, no, Nick Barber is the artist on this.
Simon Cowell.
I figured this would be an issue right up your alley, Matthew.
It's actually down the alley around the corner at the garden.
It's like the wrestler meets
criminal.
Yeah. So what's the story about?
This is a story of a man who used to be professional wrestler, the Minotaur. No one escapes the Minotaur. But now he's retired. He's been off the card for years. He's living a life of quiet desperation in Mexico or Japan.
Japan. Yeah.
And he has to come home to deal with some unfinished business.
And along the way, we meet all of his crazy cast of characters, including an old guy who's still doing the ring thing, which remind me an awful lot of the wrestler bit. And a young kid who's up and coming, but still hasn't found his place in the wrestling world. We also meet his old business partner and his sidekick, plus some woman who's in a wheelchair that we don't know what his relationship is with her.
Well, she's willing to loan him a lot of guns.
Well, yeah, he's there to help out, Teddy, his friend Teddy. And we don't know what their relationship is, but he's willing to go halfway around the world to help him out. Yep. And he gets the crap kicked out of him.
His ex-boyfriend, Teddy.
That's what I was wondering, too, because it doesn't specifically say that, although that's kind of implied. There is another character who outs himself in the story.
Yeah, the young kid wrestler talks about his boyfriend, but only after Minotaur's old friend says it's okay, he's one of the okay people.
Yeah.
Which, you know, makes me think that maybe, is his name Joe?
Dan is the is our lead character, yeah.
That's one of the issues with the issue right there. Too many.
Well, here's the problem that I have with it. There's too many people being introduced. Mm-hmm. And so, all of these people will play some role at some point in the future.
All of them
isn't that what Chekhov's gun is all about?
Exactly. Chekhov's gun and his sword and his hat and a pair of socks that he picked up in Bolivia.
Yeah. So, it's got that going for it. It's got a lot of characters that were just being deluged with from panel one. And it takes a little bit of time to figure out who's who.
Right.
And what their story is and what their connections are. And quite frankly, at the end of this episode, it seems like a loose affiliation of here are people that he knows, but he wouldn't call them best friends. Even the woman in the wheelchair,
right,
is what's their relationship? Why is she willing to loan him all of the guns in her arsenal?
Right. And in that way, it kind of reminds me of a take on noir, because we have that central character who's like drifting through life and he knows everybody and everybody knows him. And yeah, he has this backstory where he used to be a professional wrestler. But then he also has this whole mystery kind of never talks to anybody, never makes heavy connections vibe. So
Right. So from the story side, it is a lot of setup. And this, I think, is a 6-issue.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a 6-issue series. And so there's a lot of setup going on here if we're going to get to the revenge part. Mm-hmm. I keep thinking like, you know, there's going to be some Kill Bill element added in to this series.
That sounds like it, especially after Dan takes a beating from Teddy's associates this episode.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I really do appreciate, but I think also affects the pacing, is you mentioned those references to the wrestler.
Right.
The actual wrestlers say that the wrestler is very realistic as a take on life on the road. This issue has a lot of things that are specifically in there. You know, the guy who used to be the ridiculous manager with the hat and the cape and the pimp outfit.
Right, right.
The guy who – the old guy who's still wrestling and the young kid who's on his way up and doesn't have any money. There's a lot in this to make it specifically a story about a wrestler rather than just a story. So I feel like there's a lot of background here for what he used to do and, you know, what he clearly used to love to do. And not as much background to give us the what's going to happen now.
Do you feel that this is a lot of, hey, guys, look, we're putting this in. This is wrestling. See, wrestling, wrestling.
do you get a lot of that in there? Level.
Okay.
It's not like they're really obvious about it, but I feel like when you're introducing the characters in your first issue, you have that thing where you have to introduce a whole universe. You have to introduce what your plot is going to be, where your hooks are hanging for your forward-moving plot things. And I feel like this spends a lot of time on Dan's background and Dan's experiences and all the things that Dan may or may not have done when he was the Minotaur. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, brother, the Minotaur is going to horn in on you. Oh, yeah. But anyway, when he used to be the Minotaur. And I don't know that some of that space couldn't have been devoted to a little bit more clarity on the plot. I mean, yes, at this point, we're not supposed to know what's up with Teddy. That's clear. Teddy actually doesn't appear in this issue except in flashbacks.
Not even a flashback, because the phone call that we see in the flashback is all Dan's side. It's all from, you know, we see Dan in Japan.
Right. But we hear Freddy's voice, Teddy's voice.
Yeah. He says, I effed up really bad.
Yeah. Whatever is going on, I expect roaring rampage of revenge. And I'd really like to see him, you know, in his full gear with his luchador mask. But, you know, that's me. And not everybody thinks like I do.
I don't know if it would go that far. It might. But, you know, he's pretty clear on, hey, the wrestling group owns this likeness. And if I use it, I'm going to be sued into oblivion, which there's a story there. Why did he have to flee to Japan? Why is he living in Japan? Why is he not doing like his friend is doing and training the young ones, doing all that stuff? Why is, you know, big in Japan is kind of a big deal.
Why is he no longer a wrestler? What happened that took him out? Because he's clearly still capable.
Oh, yeah. He take a beating with a wrench and five other guys and still going strong.
That's another example, though, of something that rings really true. Are you familiar with the Dudley Boys?
I do not know who the Dudley Boys are. Are those the guys that rode the little motor scooter back in the 80s and got on the Guinness Book of World Records?
Those were the fattest men in the world. I don't remember their name, but they were nothing. The Dudley Boys were two guys who established their gimmick in a minor league federation in Philadelphia. Uh-huh. They made it big. They got huge. They got hired by WWE back when it was WWF. They got themselves through their talent on WWF television, and when they quit, they could no longer be the Dudley Boys because the WWF
because they own it. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, we see that a lot. That happens in a lot of industries.
Yeah, their gimmick basically that they created and established no longer belongs to them. So that you know is another one of those things that I thought was really kind of nice and prophetic, which I hope means something.
Yeah. Well, maybe I don't know. It's interesting, and maybe I don't know what his friend Teddy's trouble is. That would be very interesting to find out. I'm interested to see, you know, where this story goes. It's got a very, you know, the first chapter is very noir. I think the problem that I have with it is we're, like I said, we're inundated with so many characters from Teddy's life or from Dan's life. And the only way we're finding out about Dan's life is because the characters are telling him, hey, remember when you used to be a wrestler? Hey, remember when you used to do this? Hey, remember when you're doing that? And that is just kind of like,
hey, remember when I used to be your manager and I dressed like a pimp and I'm a guy and I do this thing and this is the thing that I do?
There was a little bit too much of that, I thought. But, hey, I don't know what's going on in the next chapter, so.
And when it comes to dialogue, it is difficult to balance that conversational thing with the expositional because I don't know if you remember 25 years ago when you and I went to school together, Stephen.
Oh, yes. But 25 years ago, you and I had met at a school.
Yes, you remember. Sometimes it is difficult to bring details like that into conversation without making it feel like something strange, as we learned years ago in our radio TV scriptwriting classes under Lance and Mike.
Ah, yes, way back a long time ago when we first met. Origin story.
Yes, when you dressed like a pimp.
Origin story. Horrible scene writing there, Matthew, by the way.
I don't know. You really did dress like a pimp sometimes.
Well, yeah.
It was the 90s.
had to keep you in line.
You get those long coats and the big mullets. Everybody had those.
Yeah. So what's the story with the art on this?
I'm a little troubled by the art because I don't mind what I think of as a primitive art style, something that feels like people have described it various ways. And the description that keeps popping up is something that feels like an indie book. You know, not necessarily the same sort of style, but
I don't know
if you're Paul Pope, Paul Grist, your other guys named Paul. And I feel like this issue has an issue with likeness as far as seeing someone on the page, on the panel, and saying, okay, that's the same person we saw a couple of panels ago.
Right.
Now, that doesn't necessarily make it bad. It's not necessarily my likeness. I feel like his storytelling is really strong. You can always follow what's, you know, going here to where, and there's a shot, the opening shot of him in the gymnasium in Japan.
Right.
And then you have the equivalent of a push in, you almost kind of push in on that window, and then you see the ring, then you see the close up. I mean, that's all great. And the conversational stuff, the back and forth and the way it's all laid out is really good. I just feel like it feels very, very watercolor, intentionally so. I feel like,
I don't know. To me, this feels like, and again, you can draw a lot better than I can, but at times it felt like the artist was working in postage stamp size, so he had to keep everything very simple. And because of that, I kind of like it. But at the same time, things get a little fluid when you're going from one shot of a character to another shot of a character. And suddenly a neck looks wrong or somebody looks way heavier than they were two panels before and that kind of stuff.
Anyone who's not in the foreground basically tends to be a color blotch like two eyes and a line for a mouth. And again, I think that it's an intentional distinction, but what it really does is if you take that cinematic metaphor we were looking at a minute ago, it makes some of it feel almost out of focus.
Yeah.
Like it's not quite – if there were a camera involved, the camera is not quite focused to where we see both parts of the scene. And that's a legitimate technique. People use that all the time. I don't know if you've seen those rack focuses in all the local commercials. But when you have a book – where you're introducing so many characters, I feel like this art is not really helping to make them all visually distinct from each other, or even to the point where at the end of the issue, can I look at any given panel and make sure that it's Dan and not somebody else?
Right.
That can be problematic.
Yeah. So what's you think you'll be looking forward to the next issue?
I'm interested. This is another one of those where I feel like it's got potential. It's not a book that I really want to rush right out in a buying frenzy, but I definitely recommend, especially if you're someone who's into, you know, that kind of noirish, vaguely detective feel. Stranger rolls into town with secrets in his past, and this is what happens to him.
I think the noir element is there. To me, it feels more like a revenge story. And I'm interested to see what happens next, because I only want to see where the next chapter takes me. And if the next chapter is interesting enough, then I'll continue on. But this one, it's really kind of it to me. It doesn't come together until, you know, the second to the last page or whatever, when he's getting the crap kicked out of him in an alley. And it's like, oh, OK, now something is we have to pay attention to. Otherwise, it just felt like here's a trip down memory lane with a lot of people that better play a role in this story in the future, or it's going to be a huge disappointment. So I'm tentative plus on this one.
Did you feel like the wrestling references were deleterious for you as someone who wasn't going to get them?
You know, I don't follow wrestling, so sure. I mean, I understand what they were talking about and how you set up your stories and how people get bumped up and down the line, depending on what story the people want to tell. So that's not a big deal to me. I mean, I think everybody understands that part of it now. So it's not like they were talking down. I didn't think they were talking down to me like, hey, dummy, this is how the real world works. I didn't get that sense at all. But and to me, the wrestling part seems to be on the periphery of the story of some guy going to help his friend or former friend or whatever. Right. And there's something deeper going on. Now, if he gets drawn back into the world of wrestling, and there's something deeper going on in the world of wrestling, like they spent a whole page or two looking at the producer of the show screaming and yelling. Now, if he turns out to be the bad guy in the piece.
You can't kill that Reynolds angle. If you kill that Reynolds angle, then you got no angle with Reynolds. See?
Right. So, I mean, if that guy plays a bigger role as the heavy in this, then I could see that. But I don't know. To me, it just wrestling seems to be on the periphery at this point. It seems to be your hook to get you into the story.
Right. It's the setting almost.
Yeah. And then we're going to find out on at the end that the heel turn is actually the young kid who's the newbie into the wrestling.
Oh, you said heel turn.
Wrestling. So yay or nay? You going to pick up the next issue?
Maybe. Okay. I'm going to lean towards yes. It's going to be another one of those things where if it pops up in a week where I'm, you know, not inundated with things that I definitely have to read or things that I'm desperately trying to avoid. Dark Knight 3. I think that, yes, I will pick it up given the chance. What was the cover price on this one again?
I think it's $3.99 book. It's an Image comic, so it's in that, it's $3.99. There are a couple of publishers that still do stuff at $3.50, but for the most part, all the smaller publishers are at the $3.99 price range right now.
Okay. I think everybody is. Almost.
Yeah, let's take a look. Next week from Dark Horse Comics, we have Angel and Faith Season 10, number 21. That is a $3.99 book. In fact, it looks like all of the books. Nope. Joe Gollum, Occult Detective, number 2 is a $3.50 book. Dead Vengeance, number 3. Halo, Covenant, Truth, and what does that say? Reconciliation. Oh, that's a 7-inch ship replica. That's $40.
Wow.
This Damn Band, number 5, is a $3.99 book. DC Comics has the Absolute Batman, the Court of Owls hardcover. That's a $100 book. I'm tempted on that one because that was a good story. That was, did you like that Court of Owls storyline?
Parts of it. I didn't read it all the way through, but I think there were bits of it. Now that, no, it was Death in the Family or Death of the Family when the Joker came back.
Right.
Yeah, I really like the Batgirl crossover that introduced Strix. I felt like that was incredibly well done.
Action Comics number 47 comes out next week. All-Star Section 8 number 6 is a $2.99 book. Batman and Robin Eternal number 9 is a $2.99 book. Batman Beyond number 7 is $2.99. DC Presents Robin War 100-page Spectacular Number 1. That's an $8 book. Earth 2 World's End Trade Paperback Volume 2 comes out. Gotham Academy Number 12 is a $2.99 book. Gotham by Midnight Number 11 is $2.99.
Gotham by Midnight.
Looks like most looks to be somewhat split between $2.99 and $3.99, with maybe a few more $2.99 books coming out of DC than not. Lobo Number 13, Midnighter Number 7, Prez Number 6, which I believe is the final issue in that one.
Which is a shame.
Is it good?
It's very good, and it has a lot of interesting political commentary to it, especially if you've been paying attention to, you know, American politics over the last 2 or 3 months.
Yeah. No. I think what did we do? Issue 2 or something like that?
2 or 3. I believe we may have done 3 on Dueling Reviews.
Ah, okay. So, yeah. So I was caught up to wherever we...
from Wilson for the site, and he was like, you! You know how it is.
Yeah. No, that's pretty cool. Unfollow number 2 is a mature reader's book. Teen Titans number 14 comes out next week. IDW Publishing has Angry Birds. Super Angry Birds number 4.
I looked at that and
is it pretty over the top crazy?
It was kind of over the, it was El Bonzo Seco, as we used to say back in the day.
Yeah, that's what we used to say back in the day. Atomic Robo and the King of Fire, number 4. Dave 2, number 4. Donald Duck, number 6. Ghostbusters Get Real trade paperback. That's an $18 volume. Insufferable, number 8. Max Maximized, number 26. My Little Pony Friends Forever, number 23. Star Trek Ongoing number 52.
Where we're going to be friends.
Transformers number 48 and X-Files season 11 number 5. That's, oh my God, look at Image Comics. Oh, they have a lot of t-shirts coming out next week.
Image Comics.
Oh my God, they have so many t-shirts coming out next week.
Everybody needs a shirt.
Well, yeah, it's a holiday season, right? So you want to get your holiday season shopping in. So if you're looking for Coalition of Planets t-shirt, if you're looking for Image Firsts, those are actual comics for a buck. Birthright, Bitch Planet, Copperhead, Descender, Humans, Nowhere Men, Odyssey, or ODYC, Sunstone, and Wayward are all re-releasing their number one issues with a $1 cover.
Oh, wow.
Let's see. A lot of t-shirts, though. There's the Manifest Destiny unisex cover t-shirt, Outcast Kyle unisex, Skybound 5th Anniversary, Skybound logo. The Skybound logo is pretty cool. That actually is not too bad of a shirt. Walking Dead logos, now that a certain thing has been undone, is probably going to be a high seller. But yeah, I don't see a lot of comics. There's Plutonia number 3, Revival number 15, Rocket Girl number 7, Savage Dragon 209, Paper Girls number 3, all coming out from Image Comics. And I have a shorter list this week because we are moving into the holidays this week, and so Previews doesn't have their complete list up. They're pretty close, but they'll have the complete list up next week. So that's about it for what I see. Oh, Grim Fairy Tales Adult Coloring Book is a $12.99 book. That comes out next week. A lot of people have been releasing coloring books for grownups.
Yeah.
There is a study. Well, yeah, there's a study, too, that shows that coloring apparently calms you down or is good for you. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of people are jumping on that.
Well, and it's something that you can do in situations where you can't necessarily dedicate your full attention to something like makeup.
Oh, yeah, yeah, where you could just doodle or something. What I've been doing is I have a Wacom tablet, and I've been wanting to do some like flatting type stuff for comics. So I grab something like this and do that and practice. Marvel Comics says Daredevil number 1. Finally, that character gets his own series. Doctor Strange number 3. Extraordinary X-Men number 3, Guardians of Infinity number 1, Howard the Duck number 2, Invincible Iron Man number 4, Nova 2, Red Wolf number 1. I'm interested in Red Wolf. That's the one about the Native American guy.
Yes.
Spidey number 1, Star Wars number 13, Vision number 2. So I would be either up for Daredevil or Red Wolf next week.
We can try Red Wolf.
All right, let us try Red Wolf next week.
Actually, let's go Daredevil.
Let's go Daredevil number 1 next week.
Daredevil.
I don't even know who's doing that series.
It's made of dares. The dude with the face and the elbow.
It's next week, December already?
Yeah.
Gosh, the holidays are quickly closing, and if you need to do your holiday shopping, a couple of places I would suggest. First of all, tweakedaudio.com. Man, if you want to get a pair of earbuds or headphones for your friends and make them fall in love with you all over again, like you did 25 years ago when you first met me in school, then a pair of Tweaked Audio earbuds are going to be the deal for you, because these things have great sound. I love them with the built-in microphone, so if you're driving and you need to have a conversation with someone, or you're walking, you need to have a conversation with someone, you don't need to pull out your phone and get whacked over the head with it. You just have your conversation and get back to your podcast listening. Here's the best thing. When you go to tweakedaudio.com, use the checkout code MAJOR. You're going to get 33% off the price. That's what Tweaked Audio is doing, because they're a fine sponsor of everything that we do. Yay. And we love sharing our code with you, so go out there and buy that. Other thing is Matthew's favorite day of the year, Cyber Monday, is coming up.
My favorite day of the year is any day that's my birthday when I don't have to work.
Ah, okay. So Cyber Monday is coming up. And if you want to get in on all the good deals that Amazon is having, then use that link over at majorspoilers.com. Buy all the stuff you're going to buy. Buy your giant TVs, buy your Xboxes, your PS4s, your whatever it is that you're buying, your Stairmasters. You're going to pay the same price, right? You're going to pay the same price by going through our link. The only difference is a little bit comes back our way, and those pennies and nickels and dimes that Amazon has to turn over to us when you use that link help us keep the servers running for another month. So here we go. Daredevil number 1. This is a Charles Soule, or Soule, is it Sewell?
I say Sewell.
Okay, Sewell and Ron Garney is the cover.
I'm excited about Garney.
Why is that?
Garney. Garney's great. Do you remember Mark Waid's run on Captain America back in the day?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Waid Garney run that got interrupted by Rob Liefeld's Heroes Reborn crap?
Mm-hmm.
Garney
do.
Is a favorite.
Okay, cool. There's also
I
a
do
hip-hop...
not like the fact that he's wearing a black costume, though.
There is also a hip-hop variant by Alex Maleev that you might want to check out. Back in black and on his home turf, Daredevil begins again in New York City as a new enemy emerges. Meanwhile, his alter ego, Matt Murdock, is on a new side of the law in the district attorney's office. Fighting crime in the shadows, prosecuting bad guys in the light. It's a whole new chapter of Our Man Without Fear, including the arrival of the Devil's Advocate. Welcome to Hell, Blindspot. Saturday night on CBS.
Saturday. I'm bothered by the black costume because
Why?
Daredevil has only worn a black costume once.
He used to wear a yellow costume, too.
That was when he was possessed by a demon in Shadowland and murdered a bunch of people.
Mm, well, you know, he also wore a black costume in that TV series that Netflix did last year that was so popular and has all the kids talking about the season two.
Yeah,
and the Jessica Jones.
Shut up.
No, it was a good series, man. It really was a good series.
I'm looking forward to seeing Jessica Jones, but I may have to wait until the hype dies down.
I wouldn't listen to the hype because a lot of the hype is something that as soon as you watch it, you'll be like, oh yeah, this is definitely a psychological thriller. And it's really the hype I think for it is really well placed. And so it's very solid. It's really good. And I wouldn't wait. I would just go ahead and just watch the first episode. And if the first episode doesn't get you to watch the second episode, then, you know, like right away, then, you know, that something's wrong. But I sat down and watched the first episode and it was like midnight when I started to watch it because I wanted to at least have the first episode under my belt. And right. I was like, God dang it, I need to watch the next episode. And the next thing I know, it's 3 a.m. and I'd watch three episodes.
Well, I know that I'm going to have some DVR emptiness in the next couple, 3 weeks.
Yeah, because Arrow,
many of my shows,
Arrow and Flash are not on this week. There was a new Supergirl this week.
Many of my shows are going on hiatus, so I may be able to talk the wife into watching Jessica Jones.
So here's the one thing I will say about Jessica Jones that you definitely don't want your child in the room because there's a lot of sex in this show. Not a lot of nudity, but right. like a lot of sex in the first three episodes, especially when she hooks up with Luke Cage.
Well, my daughter and I have watched things that, you know, aren't necessarily fit for your average kid, but she's almost 12. And I'd rather have that sort of thing show up and go, okay, did you see that? You want to talk about that? Then have her see it on the interwebs.
Do you want to, a little bit of spoiler and cover your ears if you have kids in the car. Do you really want to explain oral sex to her?
I'm going to have to at some
point. Okay. All right.
I am prepared for these questions. We just recently had the adult sort of here's the information you need film thing.
You just didn't hand her a pamphlet and say, here, read this.
No, they actually showed her a film and we had to sign a thing and she came home and she was like, rah, rah. And I'm like, are you good? She's like, yeah. I'm like, you got any questions? Not right now.
Well, okay. It's not graphic sex, but it is not your daytime soap opera sex, and it is not after 9 o'clock p.m. sex. It is definite, and it's not Cinemax after dark sex. It's somewhere in between.
How does it rank on the Barney Stinson banging trollops every week scale?
Like I said, it's without giving a lot of spoilers. So when she hooks up with Luke Cage, there's a lot of sex between them, the two of them. Then when there's Patsy Walker is in the show.
Ooh.
And so is what's his name? Simpson, who, if you know your Marvel
Abe
history,
Simpson.
Don't say first names because the first name is different in the TV show than it is in the comic books. They have a lot of sex in about episodes 4 and 5, I want to say.
Dun, 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 dun.
And so you just kind of, I mean, it just pops up and it's like, oh, they're getting it on and he's going down on her and she's screaming very loudly. And yeah, so I be very careful, I would say. And then, of course, there's the whole notion of what the Purple Man, what Kilgrave does to people.
Yeah, that's a thing.
And that is the most disturbing part of this show. So if you're it is really disturbing. I mean, I think the reason why I'm so drawn to it is because I want to see how creepy can they make this show? Because it gets really creepy in parts. And it gets pretty intense. So I would recommend it. It's very, very good.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. And then there's this whole color theory thing that I have going on that they don't ever call him the Purple Man. But
everything is very purple.
Everything has been, and people say, oh no, it's color graded cool, like, you know, blue, but it's not. It's actually color graded to a light violet, to where sometimes you don't see it. And the other thing that is very noticeable is that every shot, every scene has something purple in it. Now, it may not be the bright purples that you're used to. It might be a deep, dark burgundy kind of purple, you know, like a muddy reddish purple. Or it might be a very light violet color, but every shot has purple in it. And once you see it, it becomes super distracting. And I noticed it after the second episode. I was like, are they going to continue to do this throughout the whole series? And I'm up to episode 7 right now as of this recording. And it's like, holy crap, there's purple, there's purple, there's purple, there's purple. So it's very well done from that aspect as well. Yeah, I suggest watching it.
Cool.
I haven't seen, like I said, I've got like 4 or 5 more episodes to go. I think I know where they're going with it and what the big horrific revelation will be at the end. I saw a perfect spot where they could have put in a Daredevil appearance, a Matt Murdock appearance, but I don't think they're going to do that. Yeah, it's good. Go check it out. So there you go, listeners. You probably were not expecting some Daredevil talk, and hopefully we didn't spoil
too. Nobody expects
I don't think I spoiled anything for anybody.
No.
But
except for the part that Jessica's dating Homer Simpson.
Well, I think everybody knew that from the beginning. I mean, right. If you didn't know that Luke Cage and Jessica Jones were an item, and it's really complicated. I mean, it's not just, hey, I like you. Let's get it on. Okay. It's much more complicated than that.
Your Luke voice is really weirdly high.
Sweet Christmas. Yeah. There's a lot going on in this show.
Cool.
Yeah. So there you go. All right. Anything else, Matthew, before we need to get out of here? Daredevil number 1 coming out next week.
Daredevil, we'll watch it and we'll read it.
Who's Blind Spot? Is he a new character?
The only Blind Spot I'm aware of was an Image character from Rob Liefeld, so he's got to be a new guy.
Okay, cool. All right, everybody, that wraps it up for this installment of Dueling Reviews. Thank you so much for downloading and sharing this podcast with a friend. We don't care if you share it with somebody. Just don't slap your own ads on it and put it in your own feed or anything like that. But if you want to say, hey, everybody, go check out this show. Here's an MP3 file. I don't have a problem with that, especially if you point back to the original source of the MP3, because that helps us out with our hits and everything. The other thing, I think, Matthew, it would be great in this holiday season if we could get about another 200 more people. You know, we only need about 150 more people to sign up for a Major Spoilers VIP for us to hit 1,000 VIPs. And I think we could do that in this holiday season, right? I mean, the economy's brilliant. Everybody's doing good, right? No? Well,
definitely
good.
Doing better.
Definitely doing better. And the best part is the Major Spoilers VIP is not very expensive, $2, $5, or $10 a month. It's cheaper than many Patreon programs that people have set up. So if you want to help us out and get access to all this great content that we continue to release free, as well as some behind-the-scenes stuff, head over to members.majorspoilers.com. We certainly appreciate your support. And until next time, when you're going to hear Matthew say,
hey, look over there.
Take care.
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.